This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Today, Governor Nathan Deal informed the Obama administration that Georgia will not set up its own health care exchange. That's a site where people can go if they're having trouble affording health care insurance, and they would be able to pick from among a couple of options that had been set up under the president's health care reform law. What this means is the federal government will now step in and create a health care exchange for Georgia. Joining us from the governor's office, his spokesman, Brian Robinson. Brian, good to have you back.
Thanks, Dennis.
Real quickly, the governor, in his note to Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, said, we lose flexibility here and it would cost too much, so we're not going to set up an exchange. Doesn't the fact that the feds would now come in and set up an exchange pretty much take care of the flexibility also? I mean, how does this make us more flexible?
It doesn't make us more flexible. The entire system is inflexible. Our calls are unknown because we have issued a series of questions to the federal government, to the Obama administration, going back to July, and those answers are still forthcoming. Just last week, we heard from the secretary that, you know, guidance on exchanges will come soon. Well, this has been going on for nearly 2 years, and we still have very little idea of what the state's burden would be, what our responsibilities would be, if the state can get left whole in the bag, if there's not enough in the exchange to cover everybody. Governor Deal has operated in good faith on this issue. We established a commission to study what a Georgia exchange would look like. That commission met. They issued a report. And we could have moved forward if we had some flexibility. After that report came out, the federal government issued regulations that were, in our view, onerous and overly restrictive. And if it's not going to be a Georgia-based exchange with Georgia-based ideas for Georgia's unique population, then the federal government can just handle the cost. They can handle the responsibility for it. It was going to be a federal exchange anyway after those regulations. So let them have it. Governor Deal did not want a state-based exchange that was state-based in name only.
Real quickly, on that point, though, did the commission that you referred to actually put together the specifics of a state-run exchange? Did they go that far and then submit it to the government and say, to the feds and say, hey, look, you know, let's try this out and see if it works?
No, there was no need to go that far. That's a laborious process that would have been for naught. The regulations that came out strictly forbid a lot of free market-based ideas that would expand consumer choice and we believe create competition that could drive down prices for consumers. What we have is a Washington solution, and it doesn't need to be branded as anything but that. Georgians need to know where this is coming from.
Well, what were some of the restrictions that were so onerous, and how would that have been different for Georgia than for any other state? I mean, what's so unique about Georgia's insurance market?
Well, if it's going to be one size fits all anyway, the federal government is better suited to handle that. If it's going to be that from Maine to Florida to Washington State, Georgia and many other states would have liked to have tailored this to its own population, and we simply weren't allowed to do that. Governor Deal and many other governors would like to see more free market-based proposals in these exchanges, and that's not what we're allowed to do here.
Can you give me a specific example of what one of the regulations were that were at the heart of the governor's objection?
Well, the regulations outline what we must offer, and so there's not going to be a lot of choice as far as finding solutions that are going to drive down prices. We are forced to offer a certain level of policy because those sort of mandates that drive the cost up for our consumers.
So if we end up without an exchange, or if we end up with one where the feds come in initially, but then the cost eventually shifts to the state, why are we better off by saying no?
It's not going to matter one way or the other. Washington is intent at this juncture for a one-size-fits-all approach. If we could have stepped in and bent the cost curve for the state, we would have looked at doing that. If we could have done something that we felt better fit Georgia, we would have done that. That's not on the table.
It appears that, for now at least, the U.S. Supreme Court has closed off the legal avenue toward a challenge to Obamacare. So what's the state's next step here, and how will this move by the governor help the many, many uninsured folks in the state?
Because of the regulations, what consumers see would be the same whether it's the federal exchange or a state exchange. The regulations mean that the state exchange would closely mirror what any federal exchange would look like, because there's just not enough flexibility, not enough leeway to have something that's dramatically different. So how it affects Georgia consumers, it doesn't. It doesn't change that at all. What we do moving forward is continue to work with the federal government, because we really have no other choice, and because Governor Deal is committed to solutions for Georgians. We're going to keep working with them to try to lobby for flexibility. The math doesn't work for Georgia. We're going to continue to make that case to the Georgia delegation and to the president's administration. We need relief here. You know, Governor Deal doesn't think that our health care system is fine as it is. He knows we need change. He knows that too many people are facing tough choices about covering their families and about fear of illness and hospital stays. We know that. We know there's a burden on hospitals. The problem is we can't afford this solution.
Was there something that the state wanted to do that the Fed said no to specifically?
We did not offer a proposal to the federal government, because once they issued regulations, we stopped all planning. We were not at that juncture where we were going to offer things. We stopped planning when we got the regulations, because we knew that the direction we would want to go would be forbidden. But one thing the governor has mentioned in interviews is like offering association health care plans, which allows small businesses to group together to increase their purchasing power. That sort of stuff just isn't allowed.
What would you say to somebody who says, well, you're arguing that they wouldn't let you do stuff, but you never proposed anything specific for them to refuse? In other words,
we didn't need to propose something for them to refuse. You can tell by the regulations that they issue what would and would not be allowed.
Brian Robinson is spokesman for Georgia Governor Nathan Deal. Brian Robinson, thanks very much for giving us this time on a very busy day. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Dennis. Very good to be with you.
Now joining us is Tim Sweeney, Director of Health Policy at the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute, a think tank here in Atlanta. Tim Sweeney, good to have you.
Thank you very much for having me.
The governor's argument boils down to, and this is a complicated issue, so it is something of an oversimplification, but the key objections are not enough flexibility, too expensive. What's wrong with that objection, especially when you're talking about a mandate for a state?
Well, there really is still a great deal of flexibility in the options the state had in setting up their own exchange. And I'm not certain as exactly the flexibility that the governor wanted that he didn't get, but it's not like there was not significant state flexibility in various options as to how to structure the exchange.
How do you know that? What would be some examples of some flexibility that they could have taken advantage of?
Well, one easy area where there is flexibility is how you structure the insurance options that consumers have. Is either you negotiate with the insurance companies that are offering plans and try to get better deals, or which is called an active purchaser model, or you sort of let it open to anybody to sell any policy that they want. Two, I would say, very significant differences in how you structure the market, that states were under no obligation to pick one or the other. Now, under a federally facilitated exchange, the federal government will pick which of those options they prefer. And in many respects, the model where they negotiate a little bit is preferable, but that's a relatively significant piece of flexibility that states had.
But the governor's office is saying, look, you know, we just kept running into changes, and the regulations kept getting tighter. So might they be privy to some information that you might not in terms of how it was actually happening at the time he said no?
Well, certainly there are a lot of complicating factors, and there are a lot of details, and surely there are areas of flexibility that the governor wanted that he didn't get. Not sure exactly what they were, but it's very possible that those are areas where flexibility would not have been good for Georgia consumers. It's important that the plans be high-quality plans, that there be that they be robust, comprehensive health insurance plans, and not plans that don't provide significant benefits for the purchasers of them, for the consumers, for Georgia citizens. So there's a whole host of areas where it's possible that the lack of flexibility is a very good thing for Georgia consumers.
What about the cost here? I mean, we're talking about millions, tens of millions of dollars that many states, including Georgia, claim they don't have.
Well, there's actually been a great deal of money on the table from the federal government in setting up the exchange and grants that would have helped the state plan and come up with a model and implement it.
Sure, but then that money eventually runs out.
Well, there are plenty of models as to how to fund an exchange, be it from a relatively modest surcharges on the insurers who are operating a small fee on the purchase of the product. I mean, if we're talking about an insurance exchange that would serve hundreds of thousands of Georgians, billions of dollars in health insurance policies, $10 million is a relatively small slice of that, and it would not take a very big assessment in order for the exchange to be self-funded without a state appropriation, or even a $10 million state appropriation is a very small chunk of change for a $20 billion state budget.
The governor's office says, look, consumers will actually see no effect, really. They'll still have the ability under the federal model to go ahead and pick among several insurance plans. So the consumers, especially those trying to get insurance for the first time, won't really be hurt by this.
And this is really the important part, is that Georgians will still have access to the tax credits through the federally facilitated exchange. There will still be options for more affordable coverage options, more robust coverage options. And it's true that Georgia consumers will still be well served by a federal exchange.
So why then shouldn't the governor say no and try to negotiate for terms that in the future that he might think would be more acceptable to the state?
I wouldn't argue that he shouldn't have said no. I think that it's a complicated issue, and it is not surprising that that Georgia is going to defer to the federal government right now, given the state of the exchange planning. And I think what you said is that important to note that the Georgians will still have access to the subsidies, the tax credits, and some are arguing that they won't, but it is important that Georgia's consumers know that they'll still be able to benefit from the provisions of the law that will make coverage more affordable.
But in about 15 seconds here, you're saying he should have just gone ahead and started with the plans because it would have saved more in the long run?
It's hard to know exactly what the impact of having a state versus a federal exchange was. I think it may have been a missed opportunity in that we didn't have more of the state options flushed out over the last couple of years. But given where the state is, it's not surprising that we will move forward with the federal exchange.
Tim Sweeney, Director of Health Policy at the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having me.